our regulars. Amen. Give yourself a hand. Amen. We're glad to. Wasn't our worship amazing today? Our worship team, isn't it good just to see God use people and God take over? No, I mean, the talent was there, but thank God that they know how to play instruments and do it. But God just flowed through them today. And I just that's been our prayer, right? That Jesus would be exalted through people, right? Amen. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go, right? Amen. Let's welcome the Facebook Live audience. Amen. They're watching. They're tuned in, and we're blessed. Do you have your message notes handy? Those on Facebook, you'll get them. They're right there. They're coming to you. Also, you can look online. But do you have your? If you don't have your message notes, we have ushers that are ready to go. 100%. I believe you. Okay, a couple of you, raise your hand and we'll get one to you right away. We'll get those to you. You might want to check in on social media. If you have your devices and you're looking at those, at Facebook will pop up Living Faith. You can check in right there. You can check in maybe on Instagram, take a picture. Let God be a witness through your life, right? Everybody on social media? We post all sorts of stuff. We get involved, not y'all, but somebody else. We're talking about somebody else. The 9 a.m. service. That's ain't anybody, but you. Why not just shine for Jesus on your social media, right? This message will be on there. Why don't you share it with a couple of people? It might be something that just provokes them to godliness. Again, Facebook, if you're watching us online, some of you are in Florida. We thank God we have regulars there. We've been praying for you, believing for your healing. Those requests are coming in. You can do that. We'll pray for you automatically if you'll post that. We'll have a bunch of people just rising up and praying. Your prayer needs are important to us. But also, if you're in San Antonio and you're watching this, maybe in your pajamas, and you belong to a church, go to that church. Be part of that church. But if you don't have a church and you're in San Antonio, you should come to this church. Because loving people are here. People that love Jesus, they'll love you. You'll love this church. It'll be your greatest moment to enter this church. It'll take you to a new height. Amen? Amen. We want sinners just like us, right, everybody? Church people, stay at your own church. That's a good thing, right? We built this church because people needed a church to come to, and a lot of sinners were saved here. We're first-generation Christians at this church. Thank God for that. Amen? I want to conclude today with the Legacy series. We're going to look at Psalm 78:1. You can look at that on the big board and read it with me today. Next generation legacy. How do we do that? How do we leave a legacy as an inheritance? Money's good, houses are good, but we want more than that. We need a legacy of faith passed on from generation to generation. Who are you going to tell your faith stories to? They're important that you have that buy-in to your grandchildren, to your children's children, and that sort of thing. Legacy for the next generation. Children, receive right now. Amen, because of your example. Families, receive right now because of your example. The community of faith here at Living Faith receives right now because of your example and where you're at today. God is a generational thinking God. You might just think 5 years from now. You might think, what am I going to get for Christmas? There's more to that. God is thinking generations right now. And so let's get on God's page, right, everybody? Yes. Psalm 78:1 says, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying. For I have to speak to you in a parable, and I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories that we've heard and known, stories of our ancestors handed down. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord and about the power and His mighty wonders. And He's issued laws to Jacob, and He's given instruction to Israel. He's commanded our ancestors to teach them to our children." And verse 6 says this, "So the generation might know them, even the children not born. There are children that are coming behind you that we may not even see. I never knew my grandfather, but I'm serving the Lord," right, everybody? You're serving God. "And they, in turn, will teach their own children. So each generation will set its hope on you, on God, forgetting the glorious miracles and obeying His commands." Amen. There's legacy beyond you could ever imagine in this room. They say the richest places in the world aren't the salt mines or diamond mines in South Africa, aren't where the gold rush was. The richest places are present day, and they're found in graveyards where the tombstones are at. Because there, people died without realizing their legacy. Here lies, and in that lies a heart that never developed its dream or never had his accomplishment or never left a legacy of faith. God doesn't want that within anybody in this room, including myself and you today. God wants you to leave a legacy of faith. Are you glad you came to Living Faith Church? Yes. If you're breathing today, that shows you're alive, right? Yes. Yeah, amen, everybody. So in the 1700s in the colonial America, these old people here, Jonathan Edwards and Sarah, say hello to them, right? There they are. Yeah. They got married, and Sarah, as the man of God that she married, that guy is the legend, Jonathan Edwards, because he had a sermon that's still being used by preachers today, and it's called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Wouldn't that be a good sermon on Christmas Eve? Amen, on Christmas Day. So he was very difficult to live with. I don't know, habits and things, but they made a marriage, and they had 11 children. Amen? They didn't believe in birth control. Give me a good amen or whatever method. They believed in being fruitful and multiplying. And what happened over their 11 children, they had their ritual, their tradition. They would lay their hands on their children. They would prophesy. They would pray over their children. They would have Bible study. And I know maybe it wasn't as busy as it is today, but they had time to do that and mark 11 kids. Not two kids, not three kids, not one, but 11 children, and they marked them. And so later on, they did the research of what became of Jonathan Edwards' legacy and his family, and they found out that his tree generation now of Edwards are this. And I'll read off what I have, and you can look at the screen. 100 lawyers, one dean of a law school was born of them, 66 physicians, a dean of medical school, 30 judges, 3 mayors of large cities, 3 U.S. senators, 1 vice president, 80 holders of public office, 65 professors of college and universities, 13 presidents, college presidents, 3 governors of a state, 1 comptroller of the U.S. Treasury. Can you see what God will do in a legacy that you will have? What will be your legacy? What will you leave behind? What is imperishable, but what's eternal is what counts more, right? And God is eternal in the mark of God. We all leave behind which are good things, tangible items. Thank God for the house that you may have inherited or the money or whatever it might be, the possessions. And all that is good, but you want things that are eternal, right? And the mark of God upon your children's children. Everyone in this room will leave something behind of legacy, either a curse, a blessing, or what could have been. There's emptiness there. I'm going to shout out some names and you'll recognize it. Maybe some of these were a curse. The name Judas, we identify that with a curse, right? Nero, we name our dog Nero and Judas. Maybe not even our dog, right, everybody? But maybe a dog with his name Nero, right? Lee Harvey Oswald, Jim Jones. Yeah, all those names, they leave something behind of a curse. Do you recognize that? It's a shameful thing. But there are names of blessing. Billy Graham, the Reverend Billy Graham, the Apostle Peter, Abraham Lincoln, Charles Moore. Who's that? See, you don't know Charles like some of us know Charles, because you were just in this building, but Charles was one of our treasurers in the history of Living Faith Church. And I remember him as such a blessing. Now, if I go back and nitpick like I can and like you can, I'll find some stuff on Charles, just like you'll find some stuff on me. But you know, all that I think about Charles is the blessing of God and how he lived and how he was an example and how he was unique and how the hand of God was upon him. How about you? I was able to show him the building plans when the building was being erected, and we were about to go in, and he gave us ideas in his hospital room there at the Veterans Hospital off Medical Drive. And I was able to show him, and cancer had gotten to him where he really couldn't talk, but I had to listen very carefully to him. And Charles was a man that is totally responsible for rehabbing the student center and making that happen, along with Mike Montgomery that's here today. But Charles oversaw that as the treasurer of our church. And so there's a legacy of faith that we have as a history in our church because of a man like that. What will your legacy be? Amen. And we're after legacy in this house. Amen. Because we're living that way today. The Apostle Paul, he had legacy within a, not really in what he did, but in people. And he had a legacy in Timothy, his spiritual son in the Lord. And he says, you know what? I want you to pass this on to people in the next generation that are able. It says in 2 Timothy 2:2, hear the word of the Lord. The things that you've heard me say among many witnesses, commit these to faithful people who are able to teach. In other words, pass it on, right? Influence other people. So where does God want you to invest the time that you've been given? I told you last week how now that I'm 50-something, I don't want to tell you my real age, right? 29 forever, right? Is that anybody in this house? But you begin to see, you know, I'm not in my 20s anymore. I'm not in my 40s anymore. I'm in my 50s now. And so I need to finish well because I have less now on this side than I do eternally. There's a longer line now in eternity than the one little dot. Do you understand that today? And so we look at legacy that will outlive us now. We want to finish well on this earth so it outlives us and goes on. There's a generational legacy that I'll speak to you about. I'll give you four principles about that. If you're a grandparent, a parent, if you're single, if you're a young person, take notes. I'm not going to take notes today. No, you take notes anyway. Give me a good amen. Yeah. Number one is this. Somebody say, fear the Lord. And shout back at me, obey him. James spoke about, well, if I just hear the word and I don't do it, you know, I got to do the word. I got to obey the word. So you need to obey the word, right? We fear things like maybe crime coming against us, violence coming against us, earthquakes, hedge of protection go about us, right? All over us. There's a virus, something's going to get us, that, you know, flu, chemical weapons, terrorism, earthquake. Some people are even scared of the devil, you know. But our loving Heavenly Father, why would He tell us to fear Him? Why would a good Father say, you still need to fear me? Is it the type of fear like a terrorist coming at you or somebody hitting you and, you know, you're walking down the street with a baseball bat, it's dark? No, it's a fear of reverence. It's a fear of honor that you'd have before God. It's a fear of respect and wonder and submission to our Lord and saying, Lord, I'm submitted to you. There's a fear of disobeying God. It should be within every son and daughter of the Lord in this room today. Because in disobedience, there's consequences, right? You're going to have to own up to that. As much as God wipes away your sins, you have consequences for disobedience today. So the only appropriate response to our Creator, our Redeemer, is that, God, you're bigger than me. You're mightier than me. And when I step into your office, I willingly come and I bow before you and I worship you, God, because you're mightier than me. And I fear God in that way. How about you? Amen. There's a funny story about a husband and wife, and they're at the kitchen table. They're getting ready for Thanksgiving, and their ham is getting ready. So she chops off one end of the ham on this side, and then puts it in their pot, puts it in the oven, 350, going to put it in there for a couple of hours or an hour or so. So he asked her, he said, honey, why do you chop off the ends of the ham? I've noticed you've done that for the last couple of Thanksgiving. Says, well, my mama used to do that, and she made the best ham in the whole world. Says, I don't know why she did it. So she, you know, later on she calls mama and says, mama, why did you always chop off the ends of the ham? Says, I don't know. I saw my mom do it, your grandma do it, and she would put it in the pot that way, and it always was the best ham. So, you know, she calls grandma, is now in heaven, but grandpa's still alive. She says, Dad, I want to know why mom always chopped off the ends of the ham and put it in the pot. Made it taste so good. What was the secret? And the grandpa thought a little bit and said, says, I think it wouldn't fit in the pan, not unless we chopped it off. How many know your history is handed down to you? The good and the bad, right? All this time you could have had more ham. Amen. In Psalm 78:4. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation. That includes your God history. Once daddy was lost. Once mama was a lost person. And Jesus came into her life as a teenager. God rewrote my story. You're supposed to tell that story according to the Word of God. about the glorious deeds. It was glorious the day Jesus saved you, right? And you discovered your purpose. Yeah, you were born, and there were good things that day of your birthday, but when you were spiritually born, that's what God did in your life. And you need to tell that story to your children, to the children's ministry, to young people, about His power and His wonderful works. More things are caught than taught. Did you know that? You watch people, and you see your parents, the way they act, and you get their models. You get their ways, right? My dad was a cooking beast. Yeah, he was good. He was a chef in the Air Force, and that, he cooked. And mess halls were good for Dad. And us, we got to go to the mess halls and eat with the soldiers also. Well, we have this recipe that nobody ever wrote down, or we don't have five spoons of this and that. How many of y'all like those kind of recipes that you just put everything? Yeah, amen. Rachel Ray type recipes. And Dad, his secret sauce for stuffing, which he made the best, legendary, was the chopped celery. So just chopped it up, diced it up, diced it up. And that was like that. And so now the Navas, that when we make dressing, we make stuffing, it's the celery. We're chopping it. Now I'm putting other stuff that I would see my dad, and I had to perceive, because I should have paid closer attention to hit it right on the head, but I kind of got that model now. You know what I'm saying? I got that move now, like my dad, that I know how to make that dressing and make it great. And that's one of the highlights of our Thanksgiving, that dressing that we're going to make, because I caught that from my father. Amen? We catch a lot of stuff from our parents, don't we? Amen? Your legacy really begins with your heart. And it begins with your relationship with God. Are y'all here this morning with me? Yeah. In Psalms 112, verse 1, the Message Bible, hallelujah, amen, it says, blessed, that means you're happy. Somebody say, I'm happy. When someone asks you at the grocery store, how you doing, the cashier, say, I'm happy, amen. My pastor used to tell me that. I'm happy, how are you doing, man? Blessed means you're happy, amen. So maybe hit your neighbor and say, I'm happy. Second choice, you look happy, amen. You look happy, amen. Nobody talked to the sister, amen. Mean church, you left people out, amen. You shouldn't leave anybody. Blessed man, that means you're happy. God wants to bless you, not blast you, right? Blessed woman, who fears God and who cherishes and relishes His command. They're children, they're little seedlets, amen. They're little seedlings, amen. Thank you for that correction, amen. They're children, they're robust on the earth, their homes are upright. How blessed! Look at this, their homes are brimming with wealth, and generosity never runs. That means you're going to have an extension, you're going to be a giver, and you're going to love because what God's doing. I love the relishing of commands and the cherry. God, I hold them close to you right now. There's a spending cycle of Christmas, isn't it? We get in debt, not y'all, but I'm preaching to the choir, amen? They're back here in the back, amen? We spend more, we eat more during this time, and we're doing more because it's all about us, and we even get off our diets and those type of things, and y'all are so disciplined. But this one, we can go ahead and not have one cheat day. We'll have a cheat month. Give me a good amen. And the belt lets out a little bit looser, amen. When I was a kid, Christmas was about me. When I was a child, it was really about what toy could I get. I remember my parents got me, it was the best gift. I got the Roger Staubach jersey, football pants, helmet. And I knew they were going to get it for me, but they wrapped it. I couldn't open it or whatever. But thank God I got it because I was a child and I received that gift. I still remember one of the best presents I ever got, my hero, Roger Staubach. But here, check this out. You know what? I got older and then I got married and then we gave gifts to each other. Those are good times. But then we had these two bambinos and they wanted stuff. And I had to realize, because I got older, that Christmas wasn't really about me. I grew up. And my joy now is that I give gifts to my children. Just like you. And I heard I go to another level when we have grandchildren. Is that true, Grandma and Grandpa in here? Just go to a whole new level, man, because you have grandchildren now. It's like, that's just spiritually speaking. If you enjoy getting gifts, and you're an older person, you're not growing spiritually. Because you should be at that point now that you're a giver. Because that's spiritual maturity. And legacy offering, December 23rd, is happening. And I want you, as I told you last week, to pray along with Irma and I and look at, on December 23rd, what is it, Father, that we can bring back to the house of the Lord financially? And we can bless 3 points of passion. We can bless someone in our city that's doing the work of God. We can bless someone in our state and someone in our world today. And we'll do the hard work right now. That always does that. That must be me switching it. Amen. We can do the work of God by our giving today and extend ourselves. What comes in on the 23rd of December, what we'll do is completely give it away as a church. We have operational expenses like everything else, every house. But that day, we'll extend ourselves and give to the world because that's what sort of church that we are. We're givers, not takers, right? And because of that flow coming, we have it as church members in this house, right, everybody? Years ago, we planted the church almost 20 years ago. And a church heard that we were planting a church in San Antonio, Texas. Our kids were real young. They grew up in our church 20 years ago. You can imagine. They're in their 20s now. And they called us and they said, we want to give you Christmas. They were a local church up in North Texas. We don't know who you are, but we heard about you, that you're planting a church in San Antonio, and we want to give you gifts for your children. We want to give you gift cards, you and your wife, to do it. And so what they did, I got this thing noticed from the post office there in Leon Valley, because that's where we began the church, in a rental home there in Leon Valley. They said, you need to come and like bring a truck, because this church has brought all this stuff. They mailed it to us. And so my whole back seat was loaded. My whole trunk was loaded of gifts that this church had given us in North Texas. Has God been good to me? Yes, He has. Little did that church know that 20 years from now, fast forward, that we would be a giving church now. That we would not keep it within us, but we would keep the flow going and do that. There's a man that's planting a church now in Texas. We need to be kind to him. We need to be kind to his wife and children also. We can be that example, right, everybody? I can't wait to give on that day. I hope you'll join me because it will be successful. Amen. With or without you. Give me a good amen. And I want to be with God today because it's what God's all about today. We give him everything today. The second thought, yeah, cheat notes already. Recognize the world's need and respond with compassion and action. Matthew 9:36. And when he, who's he? Jesus. Amen. I'll help you with the hard ones. Amen. When he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion. Now that word compassion is the strongest Greek word for something even within your gut, within your just your very insides. And it's just, it's pouring out and saying, I have to do something. That can't go on. I have to meet that need. And so that's what the feeling. Aren't you so blessed that a Savior he wasn't passive in the face of someone's problems. He wasn't passive in our problems. He met our need when we needed it, right? God is with us, right, everybody? God is with you. God will meet your need, amen? Receive from the Lord, amen? You've looked for the hand of man to come, and God's right there. All he wanted was a relationship with you. Yeah, and on them, because they were harassed, they were helpless, they were sheep without a shepherd today, amen? Your legacy needs to be committed. How you receive legacy is by being committed somewhere, by doing something. That sounded kind of funny, right? Being committed to a local church, doing something for God in His name, and leaving just your mark on the face of the earth today. Serve in your local church. It's the greatest place. Amen. We're doing okay without you, like I've said, but we'd do better with you. Because your gift and your enablement would make us shine more. You've been standing. No, put me in, coach. There are no bench warmers in the kingdom of God. We're all first string. Aren't you glad? Amen. Kirby Junior High, man. I was on the white team, and I wanted to be on the blue team because the blue jerseys were first stringers. You ever play that second team? They played like when nobody was like going to be able to watch them. It was like noontime. Amen. But the blue team, everybody could come see, right? And even. Well, I was on the white team, amen. You know what my talent was. Give me a good amen. Since I've been a Christian, There's always been a need in the children's ministry. Oh, wait, nobody's going to look at Nava right now. There's always been a need in the nursery. And it's like the hardest places to find people to serve in those ministries. And that's where we need probably the best help, the best people, because that's generation that will be marked. And that's where probably, honestly, some of you in this room need to be. As soon as you get the background check, as soon as you obey God and hear from the Lord. Me? Yeah, you. You don't know what a difference that you'll make in a child's life because of your influence. Well, I deal with kids. We'll deal with them a little bit more in the kingdom of God. Build your local church so other people can bring their children and they'll know they have quality people like you and I. You're not too old. You're not too young in this room. You should worship one. You should serve one. This is your church, right? You should be about its success. And we succeed because you give your time, your talent, and your treasure. And also we fail because you don't give those. Amen. That's kind of rough, isn't it? If you're not mad, you're going to be mad by the end of the sermon. Is that okay with everybody? My pastor, I was 16 years old. I was born again. He led me to the Lord in a small group church parking lot, a small group apartment complex. So I followed my pastor. When I was 16 years old, he was appealing to the church. And he was saying, necesito ayuda. I'm going to say it in English because my tongue is messed up in Spanish. We need help in our children's church. Who will go? Who will do it? And I thought, you know, everybody was going to stand up. And I thought everyone was going to lift their hand. But see, they were like you guys in the second service. So I looked around and I said, nobody's standing. And my pastor's asking for somebody to do something. And I said, I'll go! And looked around and nobody was with me. And there I went. And those kids were kind to me. They taught me how to teach. But that moment of obedience changed my whole life forever. The first time I ministered, the first time I taught the Bible, the first time I opened up to study the Bible so I could impart something to teach. And God hasn't stopped working in my life because I responded that day. You're middle of the road. Well, I'm focused on what other people think. I don't want to take that risk that way because of my weakness or whatever it might be. You know what I think the biggest problem is for our Christians today? In this church and other churches, no one's killing us anymore. What did he say? See, the problem with our church is nobody's killing Christians anymore. When they used to kill Christians, we exploded and we grew and we grew. We couldn't stop growing. But there's no threat to be a Christian now. It's almost like it's cool. You know, we see the reality show people going to church. And see, God wants to do something where your life is impactful and you're doing something that is risk-taking. Give me a good amen. There's this graph I have for you, a map, Dead Sea and Sea of Galilee. And both around now, both around during the time of Christ. Jesus, remember he got baptized in the River Jordan? Well, the River Jordan flows to both the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Why do they call it the Dead Sea? Because it's dead. People can float on it. There's so much salt in it. Everything that goes into it dies. But the Sea of Galilee, listen to me, it's flourishing. There's ecosystems around it of greenery, lush, fish, birds are coming around. It's just a great place to have a resort, which they are. They have that in Israel. The Sea of Galilee is its prime. But the difference between the two, and they're only 63 miles apart, the difference between the two is the Dead Sea, when the River Jordan flows into it, it's self-contained. It takes everything. It stops. It clogs up. It gets, but it doesn't give out. The Sea of Galilee that flourishes, that's alive, that's vibrant, the River Jordan flows through it, but it keeps flowing. In other words, it receives, then it gives. It receives, then it gives, and life hasn't stopped coming to it. I want to be the type of Christian, how about you, that receives, then gives so I can have life within me. If I'm self-contained, I become a dead sea. How about you? 30 million people will die this season without hearing the name of Jesus once. 30 million people. Do you ever fly over if you get maybe that luxury of flying the Southwest company plane? And you're flying over and you look, and they're about to land, but you get to see Broadway, the houses on Broadway. You get to see all the houses that are near the airport, or you're in Dallas and you're flying, and you see the houses by DFW, by Love Field, and you see the roads. And you know what I think when I see those houses? You know what I think when I drive by the houses in our neighborhood? Do those people know Jesus in that house? Is there a heart there that serves? What is taking place in the heart? When you drive by your home, when you drive in your neighborhood, in your zip code, yeah, we drive blindly sometimes, but think about the home. Think about your next door neighbor. Think about the people in your apartment dwelling. Are there homes there that need Jesus? Are there homes there that need to hear the good news of Christ? I've told you for a few weeks now to use the TrueLife.org cards. On the front is an invitation to our Christmas services. On the back is TrueLife.org. And so we're buying the turkey and the stuffing because I've never asked you to do something that I haven't done and don't do. So I gave out like two of these bad boys that were really like heartfelt. And so we're at the HEB, the giant one that's like a theme park, which I hate to go to, by the way. I don't know why they made, but some of y'all love it. My kids love to go because they don't, you know, spend the money and pay for the stuff, but they love to go to it. So we're all together buying our Thanksgiving stuff and stuff we're not going to even eat, right, because we make too much, loading up the groceries. And so the cashier was real friendly and just a good young man. And so, you know, my children are there bagging the groceries and doing something helpful, right, everybody. And finally, before I leave, I go, hey, this is an invitation to my church. I said, but on the back of it is truelife.org. It answers questions to life's hard. It gives you answers to life hard questions. I think I messed up just like that, too. And the guy still took it, smiling. He said, thanks. And he looked at it. And he was busy because it was a line, but he put it in his pocket. He took it with him. Now, if your pastor's doing that, and nobody's paying him to do that, how about you joining me this week? Would you do this with me this week? This give out two. Amen. It will bless you. You stopped witnessing. You stopped inviting people to church. Take that up again and say, no, we're going to hold the banner high for Jesus. Amen. We're going to be not ashamed of our church. We're going to make it shine today because people need to hear about Jesus today. John F. Kennedy in the Profiles of Courage booklet said this: some men show courage through their whole lives. They're born courageous. They're brave heart, right? They paint their faces blue, right? Others sail with the wind, that's many of us in this room, until that decisive moment when their conscience, an event, propels them into the center of a storm. You know why God didn't shoot you at the moment that you were born again and kill you to receive Christ? Because he wanted you to live a lifetime of legacy in the good time and bad, with that habit that you have, with that sickness that you have, with that thing. So they would know mom and dad live for Jesus. They argued a little bit, but they still stayed together. They served God their whole life, and they left a legacy. Amen? Begin in your circle today that act of courage of reaching out to your circle of influence. Who is it that you can touch this week and be courageous and say, God loves you, God has a plan for you? They'll remember your words, like I remember Charles Moore's words to my life, that God was going to use us as a church family. This vision was going to go on. Third principle is this: pray that God will use you to accomplish his purposes. Single adults in this room, are y'all with me this morning? Yes. Young people in this room, pray that God would use you for his purposes today. Jabez was a man that was honorable more than his brothers. And his mother named him Jabez because it meant in the Hebrew pain. Somebody say pain. So either he was a pain to live with, or he was a pain in life, or in great birth. She birthed him in great pain, which is probably every mama in this room, right? Yeah, I can relate with you guys. I remember when Irma had the babies, man, I was hungry and I ate a bag of Doritos there, and I was just like, I'm in pain too, amen. Yeah. I feel your pain, yeah. There was pain upon Jabez's life, and his name was Pain. How would you like it if every time somebody saw you, here comes the pain? That's what he was named. He was named Pain. Jabez means pain. Here comes the pain. But because of that, Jabez prayed, and he made legacy in his life. And if you'll pray, God will accomplish his purposes. If you'll become a person of prayer, God will accomplish his purposes in your life today. John Sprinkle left a legacy at our church as our first elder because he was a man of prayer. And he's a legend in my eyes. Maybe not to your life, but he is in mine. He had this prayer tent in the front yard of his house. That's country living, isn't it? You can do anything in the country. Many of us went. John would tell me, like, I prayed 3 hours today, Mario. 3 hours? Don't you have a life? You know, I would think that. I wouldn't tell him that because I, what do you do? He said, and so one day I had time because that's all it takes to pray. I met John with prayer. And what John would do to take 3 hours in prayer or take all day in prayer, because he did that. He was retired. He had that life that he could. He would read the Bible. He would pray the Bible. He would sing songs because he had this hymnal. He would sing songs like Great is Thy Faithfulness. He had a hymnal. He would listen to God and just be still. I remember his ways and just listening to God. He would kneel. He would take different postures. He would pray. He would do warfare. He would bind things. And before you knew it, it was 3 hours that he had prayed. And I was with him for 3 hours, and it didn't seem like 15 minutes. But all it took was time. John's wrinkle became honorable because he was a man of prayer. Amen. Yeah. And I'll continue. So he prayed to the God of Israel, and he asked for about 3 or 4 things, and he said, bless me, God, in the sense of blessing upon my family, upon my children, upon my security, my health, right? Oh, if we ever need that today, amen. And God blessed me indeed. And he says, give me much land, because enemies were occupying territories and he wanted influence. Our kingdom prayer would be, God, give us, enlarge our territory so we can gain a high school. Enlarge our territory so we can win over a zip code and the children of our zip code. Lord, enlarge our territory and our children's ministry so we can teach more children the goodness of God and build the next generation. Amen? Amen. And God gave him much land. He said, be with me, and the hand of the Lord was upon him, which is a biblical term. The hand of God was upon him. Be with me, God. Put your hand. Don't let it remove itself from me today. Moses said, God, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. God, if you're not here right now, we shouldn't even have church right now. Right, everybody? Yeah. And so Jabez said, keep me from anything that's evil that might cause pain. Because he was named pain, he knew evil. Evil had affected him his whole life, or evil had affected him. At that moment, he severed the bloodline. He said, Lord, keep me from any evil that might cause pain. God's will is that you stop that habit, because it's going to go on to generation after generation that's killing you, that you're doing in the dark, that you're doing when nobody's... God's will is that you're set free, that your life is transformed, so that your bloodline lives on and you do the right thing and God does the right thing through your life. You have to honor God with that this morning, because God's word is speaking to you. And listen to this, the last line, and God gave him what he prayed for. What if you and your spouse prayed that for a few days? You as a single person, you prayed that. How would your life change as a young person if you prayed the Jabez prayer and you asked God, give me new turf, God. Enlarge my atmosphere, my sphere of influence. Keep me from temptation. And Lord, I want to stay with you. What would God do in your home? Amen. If you did that for the next 30 days, God would transform your spiritual environment. He would do it with your children today. God answers us in 3 ways. And I've learned this through the years. God never says no to his children. And I thought back, I've told my children no. How about you? Come on, talk back to me, church. Come on. Of course I have. You know when I usually tell my children no? When they've been doing stuff that's wrong. No, you're not going to get that. Go to your room. No, that was when they were younger. Now they send me to the room. Amen. No, you've been misbehaving. You knew what the consequences were. You're not going to get that. But you know when they did stuff that they honored, they loved the house, they washed the dishes, they unexpectedly cleaned their room. Aren't you glad you brought your kids to church, right? In other words, a good father. It's a good father. No good father withholds blessings from his children. And the God of heaven is the same way, our God, our Father. You know what God says to his good children? Yes. I'm going to answer that prayer. Or he says, not now. If you wait, spend it. You're going to get something. You're going to get the hamburger and you want the junior burger. I'm going to get you the big hamburger today. You're going to get something good if you just wait. You don't want to wait. He's telling the children of the Lord in this room, wait. And you know what else he tells us? I have something better in mind. You think that's, you're going to get a better boyfriend. Give me a good amen. Come on, single ladies. You want him? No, no, no. I got something better for you. Amen. Sorry, dude. Amen. He's going, yeah. Help your spouse today as you pray. And some of you do this, and I honor you and I bless you, just like Irma does and I do with her. Help your spouse recognize their spiritual gift. You're a good leader. You tell him, amen. You hoist him up. You tell her, man, nobody prays like you, babe. Are those words that you gave, amen, they were awesome. And you see that gift with that, and you enable them, and they get blessed. And you speak, you're the one closest to his ear. She's listening to you to speak that direction as a man of God. You're the priest, the pastor of your home. Speak that into her life, and you'll see that happen. The single ladies in this room, the young people in this room, God speaks that into your life. Amen. Until you get a husband. Give me a good amen. One lady said, I don't want a husband. Give me a good amen. God's going to continue to speak to you, right? Nobody guides like you. Nobody serves like you. Amen. Thank God for that today. Finally, number four, ready for this? Somebody say, influence. Influence. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're under the influence. Yeah. Yeah, you need to chew that gum, man. You got that? No. The influence your children with your faith, value in yourself. No, in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that one person going to heaven. Amen with me. Amen. Christianity, as I finish up, because I know this is the best news yet for all of you in this room. Christianity is one generation away from extinction in your bloodline. Think about it. If nobody follows Jesus the way you're following Jesus right now, who's going to follow Jesus after you in your bloodline? The church is going to continue. The gates of hell aren't going to prevail against the church. But in your bloodline, what's going to happen if your faith isn't handed off to the next generation? You uncles in this room, your nephew, your nieces, amen. Who's going to serve God? Our duty as Christians, as moms and dads, as grandparents, is to pass on the faith. The influence, you influence them to serve God. You influence them. It's been going on from Adam, it's gone on to right now. Think about it. You're here in this room because someone passed, they influenced you, and they passed on their faith so you would sit among us. I'm here because of that, right? You pass on your faith and your values. What are values? There are three that are primary. Look at them with me in Corinthians. Hey, you haven't had any fun. Some of you have even checked out because you didn't get to do this. On three, read this together with me. Are y'all with me? Yes. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 13:13 on the big board or in your handout today. Let's read it together on three. One, two, three. Read it slow. One, two, three. Go. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Yeah. Help me finish. Amen. Listen, lean in strong, and I'll finish strong. I need your help. I'm going to rely on your faith right now. Is that cool? Yeah, amen. You're looking at me like, what is he saying? Okay, good. Faith, hope, and love. Those are values that should be passed on. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. There's a legacy of faith. There's a legacy of hope. There's a legacy. And I began to study these words, and as we studied them, you know what I realized? Faith in the Bible is used like almost 250 times as I studied it. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And hope is used 200 times. Love, don't you think that's going to be a big one, right? It's going to be big, huge. Love. Love is big, right? 700 times it's used, right? That's a big one. Yeah. But you know what brings them all together? What I noticed as I studied the scripture to get ready for you? That faith, hope, and love, you know how they get connected? You know how they get some meat on them? You know, because I love you. I love you, man. You know, I can tell you that all day long. I have hope for you. I hope it gets better. I hope you feel better. I have faith. I have faith. I have faith. Let me show you my faith. It's in my back pocket. Let me show you my faith. That's not going to do anybody any good. You know how these are expressed? By giving. By generosity. The next generation captures it. They capture the thought of faith, hope, and love because they see you giving it. And all the scriptures are connected when love and hope and faith are in action. It's because somebody was real generous with them. John Sprinkle was a man of faith. because he was generous with his faith. Right, everybody? Generosity is a practical expression of those, and you have to be generous with those. Right, everybody? All day long, you can tell me, don't tell me you love me. Come on, show me the money. No, don't show me. That's Jerry Maguire. Amen. Show me the money. We'll finish that later, right? Your generosity. I'm just kidding. Come on, y'all. Seeing if you're awake. The final scripture in Joshua 4:6, as a sign among you in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? And tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed to the Jordan, the waters were cut off. They went off on dry land, just like Moses did in the Red Sea. And these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Papi, mommy, what do those mean? What do those mean? They would tell them, the little Israelite kids. They mean that one day God moved. And God just stopped the waters and our generation went through, son, and God was with us. And son, one day, your dad was lost. And Jesus came into his life. You might even say it with tears like that because it means so. Your faith means that much to you. And one day I was struggling and God saw me through and he broke that habit off my life, son. And he can do the same thing off your life. You're not going to follow in my footsteps that way. You're going to be better than I am. I'm going to make sure that you're standing on my shoulders and you're going to go further in the kingdom. That's what legacy does, right? There's a man that back in the tavern days, he had a secret habit and he would sneak off, story goes, and he would go drink and get drunk and feel good. And he'd come out of the tavern back in the day in the country and he'd be lit up, you know, feeling good because he was under the influence. And he'd walk home after getting his buzz. This day was different though when he went and thought nobody was watching him. Nobody was following him. He came out of the tavern and he noticed that he felt somebody was walking behind him. And it was his little boy when he looked back. And his son was doing something like this because it was snowing. He was following right in his father's footsteps. He was following right in his father's foot. Everywhere his dad had left a track, the little boy would put his little feet within his dad's footprint that was bigger. And he turned around and he was startled. The first thing that came out of dad's mouth, he says, what are you doing, son? He said, Daddy, I'm following in your footsteps. I'm putting my feet where your feet have been, and I'm following. And that man knew about God. That man had once the fear of God in his life. And he grabbed his son that was little, and he took him back, and he knelt at his bedside with his son, and he repented before a holy God that he feared again. And he says, I don't want my son to follow in my footsteps this way. And son, I don't want you to do what I've done, and I'm repenting. And he came to the saving knowledge of Christ again because he didn't want to sin that way. See, someone is following in your footsteps, and they should be ordained of God, aren't they? That's what we want to do. We want to obey God today, amen? Where are you leading your children right now? What are you doing as an example? See, 100 years from now, it won't matter about the house that you lived in, the clothes that you wore, the car that you drove. What will matter is, did I make an impact on the life of my child, my children, my home? Did I make an impact upon the children of my church, the next generation, upon the teenagers of the high school next door? Did I make an impact? Amen. The final thought is this on the big board. Our children are messengers we send into time that we will not see. Someone great said that. I don't know who said that, but I love that saying because my father, Jose Alejandro Nava, never saw this house. He saw the other one, but he never saw this house. He knew it was a dream, but he never saw this house. I've gone into time where he hasn't seen. Yeah. And my son will go into time where I haven't seen. So are your children. How do we send them? By faith or with a habit that they shouldn't have, a stronghold that they shouldn't have? Do you receive the Word of God today? Amen. Do you receive the Word of God today? Let's become obedient to the Word of God today. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the touch of Jesus upon our hearts today. We pray that you would watch over the congregation and your word would do as it says, Lord, run swiftly and accomplish what it's meant to accomplish right now. Thank you, God. I pray right now for every believer in this room today that God would use you. God, use us to accomplish your purposes on this earth. Use us to accomplish your purpose for this church, Father, within our family first and foremost, Lord. Marriages, as they come together this week and they pray, Father, I thank you, God. You enlarge their territory. Bless them, Lord. Bless the family units. Every single person, every young adult, every youth, young person in this room, thank you, Father, for the influence that they have over their circle, Lord, their friendships, God. Thank you, God, for faith and values of the Lord being expressed, God. We send our singles, our young adults, God, our young people as missionaries into their school, into their places, Lord, where they're points of light today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I always give you an opportunity as your heads are bowed and as your eyes are closed to fear the Lord properly. Again, God wants to bless you. He doesn't want to blast you. But there's something fearful of a God that would send his only begotten son to a cross to die for me, a sinner. That's a fearful thing to think about, that a perfect man like Jesus, an innocent man, the most perfect man that ever lived, would die on a cross for my sins and your sins today. That's a fearful thing. I fear God because of that. And it's all love that he did that for me because he died for my sins that I wouldn't have to die for my sins. He took my exchange. And I want to give you an opportunity today, if you're far from God or you've never received Christ as your Savior, because we are sinners today. There's an argument that happens in a lot of people's head during a time of a moment of favor like this, because this is your opportunity to exchange your sins and say, I'm laying my sins down because Christ took them and made the price. There's a moment to compare yourself with evil people. Are wrong people. I'm better than that guy. I'm not as bad as that guy. And God is saying, no, you're not. No, don't compare yourself to Hitler. Don't compare yourself to evil people. Compare yourself to my son Jesus. Because if you compare yourself with my son Jesus, you'll see that you're really lost and you're far away from me today. And that man died for your sins today. So today in this room, if you need Christ as your Savior, it's your moment right now to say yes to him. How I do it at Living Faith is this. I just see your hands lifted. I don't call you up. I don't make you come up to the front. I'm not in that moment right now. I won't do that to you. I'll note your hand and I'll lead you in a prayer. I'll pray here. You pray in your chair today. You make that an altar today. If that's you in this room, would you say yes to Christ? You do it by lifting your hand and say, no, please, let me. I want to pray that prayer. If that's you right now, would you lift your hand and say, that's me. I'm a sinner. I need Christ. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Hands, yes, this side, making sure. Sure. Two hands lifted. Yes, sir, three hands. Thank you, Jesus. My brothers and then my sister lifted their hand. You're already a Christian because this is a formality. Repentance happens long before we make some sort of prayer that's formal. This is all the ones that would declare right now with their mouths that we're sinners saved by grace. If you lifted your hand, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. Let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Thank you, Lord. You've become my Savior. And now I'll follow you. You are my Lord. I'll obey you, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Father, I pray a blessing upon those that receive Christ. And I thank you. I can't help but to thank you, Lord. You brought new life into Living Faith Church. There are about three people that lifted their hands and prayed that prayer. Come on, celebrate. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I pray that you'd share this message because of that moment alone right there, that somebody would listen to the very end and receive Christ today. So share it on your Facebook today. Let's dismiss right now our Facebook audience right now. Let's proclaim a blessing. May the Lord bless you. This includes Living Faith right now, everyone. Living Faith, we pray a blessing upon you. I want to bless you. Just receive it. Living Faith, just put your hands out in front of you like you're going to get that gift. Yes, you'll get a gift right now. Facebook Live right now, put your hands out just a little bit right now. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, and may the Lord give you His peace. Yes, and amen, and amen. God bless the people of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God